darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
All right, I think we're underway. Off to a great start here. I'm honestly in the studio, just having a bit of technical difficulty, but we're underway. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe Hamilton today. Abe should be back in the chair again tomorrow. And I just want to give you a quick review, because I know that you're like me, you're probably getting very tired of the ongoing dispute in Washington with regards to the whole impeachment efforts by the Democrats. And yeah, I think our microphone is back where it should be. And are we all clear there, Jason? All right, we're good to go. All right, today some developments, and just want to go through it very quickly. Today, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy sending a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, basically telling her it is time to suspend this. Now, there are a lot of objections from the Republicans. One of them being is that the Republicans say before anything goes any further, there should be a vote in the House with regards to this, and then you can begin your investigation. But so far, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats aren't even allowing that. They're not allowing that kind of procedure that would normally be in place when you have a allegation which would lead to impeachment. And so Kevin McCarthy, once again, as the House Minority Leader, just raising concerns about the whole process that's in place that the Democrats have put in place to do this kind of thing. And so we want to hear from him, and that's going to be cut number 12, Jason.
When did he know it? And how many times did he lie to us in the process? And you're going to tell me this staffer never told the chairman who he was, didn't advise in the process, and Schiff didn't advise the staffer on the direction? Because what did they tell this whistleblower? Where to go to get an attorney? Much like the person who came forward against Kavanaugh. The exact same pattern we have found before. This has been political for day one, and Adam Schiff has proven from this point here he has no credibility. He has no credibility to be a chairman, and he has no right to be the prosecutor in this case.
And the evidence really there that Kevin McCarthy was talking about, folks, is that the New York Times, no friend to conservatives, was reporting that the deep state operative, called the whistleblower, went to the Democrat staff on the House Intelligence Committee in advance and got their advice on filing his complaint. Now, here's the interesting thing. We're going to go to cut 11 in just a moment, Jason. Here's the interesting thing. 2 weeks ago, I believe it was in an interview with Fox News, Schiff was asked whether he had ever communicated with the CIA operative who filed the complaint. Now, listen to what he had to say. This is cut number 11.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence, just as to how he is to communicate with Congress.
So, New York Times, one of the most liberal newspapers, Democrat-friendly newspapers in the country, is reporting that this so-called whistleblower meets with Schiff staff to get some advice on how to file his complaint. Schiff is saying 2 weeks ago, oh no, we never talked to him. No, we didn't do that. Are you surprised? Are you really surprised with those kinds of tactics? Speaking of tactics, today, the Democrats, behind closed doors, were talking with former U.S. envoy for the Ukraine, Kurt Volker. They wanted to talk to him because he was aware of that now phone call in July between President Trump and the new president of the Ukraine. So they bring Volker behind closed doors. There are two Democrats and one Republican. Now listen to this. The Democrats set the rules of the game for that. They said the Republican couldn't ask any questions. He just had to sit there. And then the Democrats come out and they say, oh, yeah, Volker told us some really interesting things that kind of back up the allegations that we have been making. Really? We don't know that because it was behind closed doors. We do know that the Democrats know how to spin things, but we won't know. And the Republicans, not even allowed to ask any questions. And Nancy Pelosi has the audacity to say that they're proceeding under the Constitution in the interest of integrity in our political system? I don't think so. You know, if you want to know what's behind all of this, I think we heard a pretty good assessment, and this is going to be cut number 15, Jason. We heard a pretty good assessment today when Vice President Pence was asked, what's behind all of this? What's behind the president wanting to investigate the fact that when Joe Biden was vice president, his son, Hunter Biden, was sitting on the board of a company in the Ukraine getting paid $50,000 a month. And when the attorney general of that country said an investigation was needed of that company that Hunter Biden was sitting on their board, then this was happening when Joe Biden was vice president, Joe Biden said, we're not going to give you any money. Acting on behalf of the Obama administration, told the Ukraine, we're not going to give you any money unless you fire that attorney general, which is exactly what the Ukraine did. So here's Vice President Mike Pence today defending the fact that Trump wants an investigation into corruption in the Ukraine. And by the way, remember, this ingredient of the investigations involving Joe Biden was one small part of that. There are other things, such as the investigation into so-called Russian collusion in the 2016 election and the involvement of a Ukrainian company in Hillary Clinton emails. So anyway, here's Vice President Mike Pence today telling a reporter exactly why Trump needs to proceed with this investigation of Joe Biden and his connection when Joe Biden was vice president with his son, Hunter Biden, with Ukraine. It's cut number 15.
Is it appropriate, as the president did this morning, and in the phone call with Ukraine, to ask foreign governments to investigate his political rival?
China, for example.
One of the main reasons we were elected to Washington, D.C., was to drain the swamp. And I think the American people have a right to know if the vice president of the United States or his family profited from his position as vice president during the last administration. That's about looking backwards and understanding what really happened. I mean, the fact that my predecessor had a son who was paid $50,000 a month to be on a Ukrainian board at the time that Vice President Biden was leading the Obama administration's efforts in Ukraine, I think is worth looking into. And the president made it very clear that he believes our other nations around the world should look into it as well. When you hold the second highest office in the land, it comes with unique responsibilities, not just to be above impropriety, but to be above the appearance of impropriety. And clearly, in this case, there are legitimate questions that ought to be asked, and we're going to continue to ask them, since the American people have a right to know whether or not the vice president of the United States or his family profited from his position.
That was Vice President Mike Pence today when asked, is it proper, by a reporter, for President Trump to want to investigate the dealings of when Joe Biden was vice president and how perhaps Joe Biden, as vice president, was doing things to greatly financially benefit his son, Hunter Biden. And the president expanded on the Ukraine request for the Ukrainian investigation today by saying, hey, what about Hunter Biden's involvement when Joe Biden, his daddy Joe Biden, was vice president with China and a China interest? And again, Hunter Biden sitting and involved with a company that was involved with a Chinese entity and ended up making a whole pile of money with that. Remember, Hunter Biden flew on Air Force Two with his daddy, Joe Biden, when Joe Biden went to visit China about all of this. And we're supposed to believe, remember Biden just in the last few days, saying that, I never talked to Hunter about his business dealings. Do you really believe that? And then there was that picture we saw a few days ago of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden on a golf course with principals that were also involved with that Ukrainian company. You don't think there was any discussion whatsoever between the then Vice President Biden and his son about their businesses in the Ukraine, about their business relationships with China? And by the way, there are some people who are speculating that a quid pro quo took place that gave China a favorable advantage in trade with the United States in exchange for Joe Biden saying, hey, help my son out. See where the corruption is? I tell you what. Meanwhile, President Trump didn't let this stop him campaigning. He was down in Florida today at the Villages, which is kind of a residential area in central Florida. And his topic down there was his support for Medicare and slamming Medicare for All, which, of course, is promoted by Bernie Sanders. And that Medicare for All plan, which would cover everyone under a government-run plan and eliminate most private insurance. It's going to be a big issue because most of the other candidates, we don't know if Joe Biden is going to actually win the Democrat nomination, but most of the other candidates as well favor some kind of greater involvement of the government in your health care system. But the president today taking on Bernie Sanders and the other Democrats in their plan, basically. And here's what the president believes. President Trump believes that any kind of Medicare for All or even a partial erosion of Medicare is going to hurt seniors, which is why he went to the Villages today to talk about this. One more thing on the political trail, and then we're going to move on in news right after the break. And this is a little bit light, folks. Here's the headline. CNN rejects two campaign ads from Trump and accepts one. Now listen to this. CNN says it has rejected two advertisements submitted by President Donald Trump's re-election campaign because they weren't factual. I would say probably the reason for not accepting the ads is that maybe they made CNN and the Democrats look bad. In fact, let me read this. Trump's campaign likened CNN to a public relations firm for Democrats. That may be one reason. The ad also flashed pictures of three CNN journalists it described as media lapdogs for the Democrats. Well, I'm gonna give CNN some slack here. I probably wouldn't have accepted that ad either if it had depicted. But I can just see the Trump re-election campaign sitting around saying, hey, let's send this one over to CNN and see how they react to this ad. An ad that says three CNN journalists described as media lapdogs for the Democrats. Nope, CNN didn't accept that one, but I think the Trump campaign had some fun. All right, Abe Hamilton away today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe. We got much more ahead as we continue on this Thursday edition of the Hamilton Corner. We'll be back in a moment.
It's not about genetics. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A recent study conducted by Harvard and MIT scientists once again refutes the born-that-way reason for homosexuality. This massive study of nearly 500,000 people sought to determine if genetic factors contribute to same-sex sexual behavior. In fact, the study was published in a journal for the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and it's the largest study ever conducted on this subject. Researchers concluded what we've known all along. It's effectively impossible to predict a person's sexual behavior from their genome. That means there's no genetic cause for same-sex attraction. All the more reason why people should have the right to seek counseling to overcome unwanted same-sex attraction, behavior, or gender confusion. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, people can truly find freedom in Jesus Christ. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
This is John in Tupelo, Mississippi. A message to listeners who are not familiar with the American Family Association Radio. If you do start listening to AFR Radio, you will be amazed but kind of mad at yourself because of what you've been missing. Every hour on the hour, you will hear news bulletins of truth that you will not hear or see anywhere else. So, as the singer Ray Stevens used to sing in his gospel song, turn on your radio.
God is using American Family Radio to inform, equip, and activate our listeners to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Please partner with us in this important effort during our three-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, October 15th on American Family Radio.
So, turn on your radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Nancy Pelosi and her gang of political assassins are still determined to carry out a coup d'etat against President Trump. Since the Russia collusion snipe hunt failed spectacularly after 2 years and $35 million, they have turned to impeachment. But Donald Trump will survive this threat for the same reason he got elected in the first place, evangelicals. 81% of evangelicals voted for Mr. Trump. He's given us no reason to withdraw our support. He's been a champion for the sanctity of human life and religious liberty. He has sent over 150 constitutionalists to the federal bench, and he remains committed to protecting our national sovereignty by sealing our southern border. A Republican senator who votes to convict Donald Trump will face the wrath of the vast majority of evangelicals in this country, and trust me, by the time they cast their vote, they will know it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Hamilton Corner. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. He should be back in the chair again tomorrow. Well, newly elected Congresswoman from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, member of the squad, continues, and I guess if I had to advise her, I would say perhaps it's better not to talk as much, because it seems when she opens her mouth, she gets herself in a whole lot of trouble. Now, she'd get herself in a whole lot more trouble if the mainstream media didn't protect her from any criticism, but This week, just in the last few days, she got herself in a lot of trouble with the chief of police of the Detroit Police Department. Now, here basically is how it all started. Rashida Tlaib apparently was invited into the police headquarters there in Detroit to look at some new technology, facial recognition technology. And she couldn't just let it go about learning about this facial recognition technology. She had to insert racism into all of this. Now listen to what she had to say. Here's Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. It's cut number three.
Analysts need to be African Americans, not people that are not. Because let me tell you, no, it happens all the time. Okay. It's true. Okay. I think non-African Americans think African Americans all look the same. I've seen it even on the House floor, people calling Elijah Cummings John Lewis and John Lewis Elijah Cummings, and they're totally different people. I'm just saying.
That's just true.
I see it all the time, and I love them because they, like, go along with it.
Well, I trust people who are trained.
I know.
Regardless of race, regardless of gender. Yeah. It's about the training.
But it does make a huge difference. So.
Yeah, that was at the very end there. That was the police chief of the Detroit Police Department, who, by the way, is an African-American. Now, did you hear what Rashida Tlaib, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, was saying? That white people should not be allowed to use this equipment because they really can't tell the difference in facial features of people of color. Now, she said only African-Americans should have that job. So she was also insulting Hispanic-Americans. They're not qualified, according to Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, to do that job. And I guess Asian people. You're not qualified if you immigrated from this country. Your family comes from India or Pakistan or China or Japan. You're not qualified, according to Rashida Tlaib, to do this job, to work on this facial recognition technology. Well, the chief of police there in Detroit could not let that go. He was back talking about this again. Cut number one.
My staff goes through intense training with the FBI, and so they're not looking at race, but it's measurements. And so, and I tried to explain it to her. The analyst tried to explain it to her. And so we were appalled when she made the statement.
Yeah, we were appalled when she made that statement. And kudos to the chief of police there in Detroit, James Craig, for coming back and making it clear. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that so many Democrat members of Congress are so willing on any occasion to try to use the race card? They are dividing this country. And like I say, if Rashida, if it had been anybody else, and they would have dared to say that a person of color is not qualified to analyze facial figures, there would have been up in arms. But you know, this story barely got any coverage in the mainstream media. Her comments that people of only one race could really be qualified to do this job. What an insult. You know, you wonder sometimes how people like Rashida Tlaib get elected. But she was. She was elected. She sits as a member of the squad. Her boss in the House, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, scared to death now to insult any member or try to put them in line, any member of the squad, because she'll get in trouble. Because the mainstream media gives these squad members, and we're talking about Congresswoman Omar from Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, and the other congresswoman, I believe, is from Massachusetts. Nancy Pelosi is scared to death to say anything to them, come out and criticize them. But basically, the squad and some of the other strong left-wing members of the Democratic Party are basically running that party right now. So here's what you have in the Democrats. They're beating the impeachment drum against the president. And it's not going to go anywhere, folks. Now, they're doing their best to try to remove kind of any opposition to it. Like we were reporting a few moments ago in the hearing today involving the former envoy to the Ukraine, Mr. Volker. The Democrats went behind closed doors, two Democrats and a Republican behind closed doors with Ukraine, the former envoy for Ukraine, Kurt Volker. But the Republicans not allowed to ask any questions. And there's been no vote in the House yet on any of this. Because once there's a vote, you see, the Republicans can then subpoena people. And the Republicans have already said they'd like to talk to Hunter Biden, for instance. They'd like to subpoena him to kind of get at the base and the bottom of all of this. But the Democrats won't allow a vote, so it forbids the Republicans from even being allowed to subpoena everyone to get the other side of the story. But that's where we are today. This is your Democratic Party in the year 2019. Now, there's one other element to this, which is kind of interesting. With regards to the desire to by Trump and Republicans to investigate what Joe Biden was up to when he was vice president. And this may backfire on the Democrats, because a lot of Democrats still would like to see Joe Biden at the top of their ticket next year, because they realize everybody else under Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, are so radically left when they would put Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders up against Donald Trump, there wouldn't be a chance. So they see Biden as their hope. But here's what happens. Joe Biden is being discredited in all this because, like it or not, more and more evidence is coming out that Joe Biden was extremely corrupt and what he did benefited his son greatly, his family members. And you add that to the fact of all the faux pas of Joe Biden, that is really jeopardizing. In fact, the latest polls are showing Elizabeth Warren moving in front of Joe Biden, whether the Democrats want this or not. So this is a very difficult time for the Democrats. This whole focus on impeaching the president over what he's saying about Joe Biden and the possible corruption with his when he was vice president with Ukraine and with China, this could all backfire on the Democrats. And this is why there are some Democrats, a couple of Democratic senators were speaking out about this early in the week. They really were saying that there's not a whole lot of evidence. They know when it comes to the Senate, an impeachment procedure, it's not going to go anywhere because the Senate under the Constitution kind of is the one that holds court on this. It's going to be voted down, just like the Senate did with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's impeachment process passed through the House, but it didn't go anywhere in the Senate. And that's what the Democrats are afraid of. All of this attention being put on Joe Biden could well end up jeopardizing. And so they're left with Elizabeth Warren. I don't think Bernie Sanders really has a chance. But right now, the polls are showing Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren is about as radical a left as Bernie Sanders is. What a contrast that would be if that's the way it ends up being. All right. Something extremely positive for a change in the news. And I want to spend some time on this because I think it's absolutely incredible. You may be familiar with the case of former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. And last September, she was going home after getting off shift. There is a Dallas police officer. She goes into her apartment building and she walks down the floor. She thinks she's going into her apartment and she's approached by a man in the apartment. So goes the account. She still has her revolver with her and she shoots this, what she thought was an intruder. Now it turned out she was on the wrong floor of her apartment building and really the man she shot was the real occupant of that. She loses her job as a police officer. Her case finally went to court in the last 2 weeks. Earlier this week, she was found guilty of murder, Amber Geiger. And sentencing hearing began right away. And yesterday, she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Now, the mainstream media tried to turn this into a racial issue. The stories were all about a white police officer shooting a black man. But the facts of the case didn't prove any kind of racial motivation in any of this. But still, the mainstream media try to paint this as a racial issue. So yesterday, she is sentenced to 10 years in prison. Here's where the story really gets interesting, folks. During the sentence hearing, the brother of the victim's name was Brant John. The brother, 18 years old, Botham, got on the stand yesterday. And this is what he had to say. Cut number four.
Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
What an incredible scene in that courtroom, folks. She's just been sentenced for 10 years for murdering this young man's brother. He gets on the stand to give testimony before the sentencing. And he wants to forgive her. His wish for her is to accept Christ. And then he asks the judge, can I go over and give her a hug? It's an incredible moment. It's on video, folks. You need to find this. I hope it's on YouTube somewhere. But you need to see this. It was an absolutely incredible moment. He hadn't, as he said in that, he didn't even tell his family he was going to do this. Now, part two of all of this, it's going to be cut five, Jeff. Part two of all of this, when the proceedings are over, the judge in the case, who is an African-American woman herself, she gets up and gives Amber Geiger a hug. So here's how a reporter described that moment, cut number five.
I have confirmed with her that she had a Bible. She shared that Bible with Amber Geiger, giving it to her. We were told that she read a Bible verse with Amber Geiger, and then they prayed together. It was Judge Kemp leading that prayer, and her hug, along with the same hug you saw from the brother of Botham John, the judge herself, in that moment together with Miss Geiger.
I've never seen anything like this. First, the brother doing that of the victim, and then the judge doing the same thing. The judge went out and got a Bible out of her office to give to Tammy Geiger. Now, there's one more thing here, folks, and I just found this out today, thanks to Jeff Reed here. Earlier today, Brian Fisher, on his program, Focal Point, was talking to the pastor of First Baptist Dallas, you know him, Dr. Robert Jeffress, about another matter, is what I understand, but he had just heard the story of the judge hugging Amber Geiger. Now, I want you to listen to this. It turns out that in the wake of the charges against Amber Geiger, she started to go to First Baptist Dallas, where Pastor Jeffress is pastor. Cut 14.
And Robert, welcome to Focal Point with Brian Fisher.
Thank you, Brian. I have to comment about your clip you just played because we really have not revealed this, but Amber attends our church, and it was just amazing to see how, as you said, a tragedy actually became a triumph of forgiveness. And we pray for the Botham family. We pray for Amber's family. Even though she's in jail now and headed to prison, her family's going to be here Sunday. And we're going to be praying for them as well as the victim's family as well.
Now, had Amber, Robert, had she attended First Baptist for a while, or is she fairly new to the fellowship?
She actually worked as an off-duty policeman, Dallas policeman. We hired Dallas policemen starting years ago. But after the shooting, she was a totally broken person, and she came here and started sitting on the back row of the church to be encouraged, and our executive pastor's wife noticed her and took her under her wing, started meeting with her every Sunday morning early for Bible study and prayer. And the day before the trial began, I prayed with her and her family and prayed for God's will to be done. And, this is a story of grace extended by the victim's family and grace received by Amber.
What an incredible story. And our only hope is that God can take the demonstration of this love, forgiveness, and reaching out and make a difference in people's lives. Folks, we serve a sovereign God, and he works in mysterious ways sometimes. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840, the number to call. We're back in just a few moments.
thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Indoctrinating children. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Russian communist tyrant Vladimir Lenin said, "Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world." Have you noticed how children are being targeted and used for humanistic causes? For example, school children were allowed to skip school to protest climate change. Libraries invite drag queens to read stories to children. A school district in Minnesota hired a Muslim equity director who has written against, quote, Christian and white privilege. With all this indoctrination, Christian parents better take seriously the Bible's command to bring up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. When the classroom becomes a diversity war zone. That story next. The other day, I received a message from Dina Bartis of Wake Forest, North Carolina. On the second day of class, her son's 10th grade English teacher at Heritage High School handed out a diversity inventory worksheet. She instructed students to reveal their religion, economic status, and sexual preference. She also called out white students and had them talk about their privilege. Mrs. Bartis was rightfully upset. She said the questions were uncomfortable, inappropriate, and most importantly, none of her business. The Wake County Public School system said they have instructed the teachers to discontinue the diversity lesson. God bless Mrs. Bartis for having the courage to stand up and speak out. She's faced all sorts of threats and backlash, but she did the right thing, and she exposed a very clear and present danger in our nation's public school system. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And indeed, welcome back. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. Abe will be back tomorrow. Hey, listen, we want to remind you we're gathering stories now to play during our October Share-a-thon, which is coming up in just a few weeks. And, you know, we hear this because the testimonies are incredible from you folks. And if American Family Radio has made a difference in your life and we've been there or given the right thought at just the right time, we'd like to hear your AFR story. It could be a real blessing and encouragement to many others. And I'll tell you, it's a real blessing and encouragement to us when we hear your stories about how AFR is affecting your life. And call and share that for a minute or two, and you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon. Our listener storyline is 877-876-8893, 877-876-8893. You just dial that number and just take a minute or so and tell us. A lot of stories have to do how you, you know, found us on the dial. You were driving along, or one night you were searching the dial and you found us, and or you tuned it in at just the right time and you heard the gospel message. And you hearing that gospel message, you accepted Christ as your Savior, and it made an eternal difference in your life. We get those stories, folks, all the time. Folks going through difficult times, Christians going through difficult times, and they hear just the right message at the right time on American Family Radio. So we'd love to hear from you, 877-876-8893. You know, just a few moments ago, we're going to go to our phones in just a second. Just a few moments ago, we were telling the story of what happened in that courtroom in Dallas yesterday when Amber Geiger, the former Dallas police officer, was sentenced to 10 years in prison, and how during sentencing testimony, the brother of the victim says he forgives Amber and hopes that she accepts Christ as her savior, and goes over, asks the judge, can I go over and give her a hug? And there is that moment, like I say, it's on video, you need to see that, as the brother of this victim embraces Amber Geiger. And then the judge in the case also hugs her, gives her a Bible. And then we heard that Amber Geiger has been attending church at First Baptist there in Dallas over the last several months. Church has been praying that God would help the families, both families, victim's family and Amber Geiger's family, see them through this very difficult time. So here's what's interesting. We are saying, you know, this can have a tremendous impact on other people about the whole issue of forgiving those who have done you wrong. I was listening to the Five program on Fox just a few minutes ago, and Dana Perino was relating there's already testimony from apparently a woman who saw this video just in the last several hours, and she, a member of her family, was murdered, and she's had a very difficult time, obviously, forgiving the person who carried out that murder. And she said, now I understand real forgiveness. So within hours of this happening, it's already having that kind of impact. And I'll tell you what, if you're struggling with forgiving somebody for something that has been done wrong to you or a family member, this is a perfect example of what God is talking about as far as forgiving our enemies, forgiving those who have done us wrong. It does the heart good for everybody. And I think God is going to use this in just an absolute incredible way. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And let's go to our phones right now to John in Mississippi. John, go ahead.
I would like to commend that young man for having the courage to forgive.
Yes.
I really strongly believe if you're not capable of forgiving, how can our Lord forgive us for our sins if we're not able to forgive?
Absolutely right. It was such, John, an incredible moment for him to get up there. And like I say, during that his testimony, he didn't even tell his parents that he was going to do this. And by the way, there were protesters outside that were angry that she only got 10 years for this murder. And there were some protests in Dallas last night over this. But what a tremendous example for this family member to do exactly what he did. His name is Botham John, the brother of the victim, doing this. I tell you what, there was a demonstration of a real Christian, biblical, Christ-like attitude at play in all of this. And I just rejoice that the world was able to see this in this courtroom in Dallas yesterday. And then, as I say, watching the judge herself, Tammy Kemp, then come up and hug Amber and then get a Bible for her. And then we learn she's been going, Amber Geiger has been going to First Baptist Dallas, where Pastor Robert Jeffress is pastor there. I just mean, as I said just before the break, this is truly, truly a God moment. And praise God for this. You'd love just to see a whole lot more of this. This country really, really needs this at this moment. John, thank you for your call. And we need to be telling other people about this. There's no question about it. John, thank you for your call. All right, let's go to Texas. And let's speak to Sonny. Sonny in Texas. Go ahead, please. Sonny,
yes,
are you there?
I just wanted to say, yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. I just love this story. It is touching my heart, and I know it's touching so many people's hearts. The media tries to make, especially black people, feel like they have to hate police and they have to hate white people. And there's something about this story that is reminding everybody in this country that just because we're a different race or just because one person is a police woman, you know, you don't have to hate each other. And it is the media wants us to hate each other. They Democrats need us to all hate each other, because as soon as minorities realize white people don't hate them, it's going to be all over because the Democrats do nothing for minorities. So I just love this story for so many reasons. I've had times in my life that I've had to forgive, and it was really, really, really hard. And I have times in my life that I know God told me to forgive, and I actually wasn't ever able to. And this young man being so young and so his, when you hear the recording, he means it. He is really forgiving this woman, and it is. And then for the judge to give the Bible to her and hug her, and it's just all so awesome. Our country needs this right now. And he's already using it.
Yes.
He's not going to use it. He's already using it.
He is already using it. Praise God. Is there any way, Jeff, that we can maybe find that video of that testimony from Botham John, the brother of the victim?
Yeah.
And maybe put it on our website, on Brian's... On Abe's
Facebook page?
Abe's Facebook page?
Yeah, sure.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Because, folks, you've really got to see this. And you've got to listen to the testimony and then see what happens in that courtroom. And it wasn't just a quick hug, like last 5 seconds, and then they went their separate ways. They actually clung to each other. I mean, it was such a powerful, powerful moment. And our caller, Sonny, we thank you so much. And I think you're exactly right. This country needs this. We have a, sad to say, mainstream media in this country that wants to divide us along racial lines. And I'm sorry, I think many Democrats also want to divide this country along racial lines, to stir up hatred between the races. And that is, it's painful to see, but it's just plain wrong. And I hope this video is just played over and over and over again. You know, it's really interesting, in the wake of what happened in that courtroom yesterday, there were not the protests that were expected in the streets of Dallas because of this. Maybe already it's having that kind of impact on this country. All right, let's go to Ruth in Mississippi. Ruth, welcome to the program.
Well, you were still talking, so I was listening. Hi, Brother Fred.
Hi there.
You know what? We all just need to stampede Washington, because I'm plastering about this moral outcry petition still. It's an ongoing thing. So everybody sign it, please, to end abortion. We'll get this Roe versus Wade reversed and abolished. But it should never happen. But I tell you what we ought to all do. Just all us Christian soldiers for God. It's all about God first. Just stampede Washington. Tell them they need to abolish that Roe versus Wade. And if they mess with Trump anymore, we're just going to have a civil World War III. What I want to know, Brother Fred, Mr. Marty, or Brother Marty, the one who took my call, it kind of explained it to me. I want to know your take on it, and I'll get off the phone. Why do they have to wait on their vote before, which I've been saying all along, Donald Trump, why don't you subpoena them all the way back to Hillary, bashing her computer server that was at her house, had highly confidential, extremely confidential and classified information, federal information at her house, in her bathroom. So would you please tell me why do they have... See, I wasn't that great in government school. I was more English and spelling and artsy and, you know. Uh-huh. So will you explain that? Thank you.
I'll try. All I know at this point is that the accepted procedure is when there are allegations of this type, and a party believes that impeachment is possible, the first thing that should be done is a vote in the House, because you have to determine first if there's enough votes in the House for this to move forward. Now, initially, when this all started to brew, there were a lot of Democrats who were out there saying, you know, the impeachment talk started well before this whole Ukraine thing. You're well aware of that. But there were a lot of Democrats saying, no, let's stay away from this impeachment thing, Nancy Pelosi. We better not do this, especially those Democrats who were voted in just the last election in very, very tight races. And because they understand the country is getting fed up with the endless attacks against President Trump. And sooner or later, people start to turn against the Democrats. And the fear for many Democrats was, you start an impeachment process, and the voters have had enough of this, because you know what? Number one on their list is not impeachment of this president. It is the economy. It's border security, all the things that President Trump has been working on. But they don't want to take a vote. Now, I think they would win, because the latest polling is showing that Nancy Pelosi has wrestled a lot of these people into agreeing. But they don't want to take a vote in the House, because that would give the Republicans the right to subpoena their own witnesses in a discussion about the possibility of impeachment. And then finally, if there was a vote taken, it goes to the Senate, where that acts as the court in an impeachment charge against the president. So that's where we are. And that's what you hear Kevin McCarthy talking about this, and in his letter. They want to vote so that they can get involved with this process and start calling witnesses, such as Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, to get him under oath to say what happened with his working with this Ukrainian company. That's one of the reasons. That's where we are right now. And all the Democrats are trying to do right now, and you notice they'd like to get through this before Christmas, because they know when we get into the caucuses and the primaries early in the new year, they know the electorate does not want to be dealing with impeachment. They want to be dealing with the real issues at that time. So that's where it is. That's it's probably much more complicated than that, but that's my understanding of it at this point. All right, Danny in Mississippi. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I think that the family that forgave her is a godly family.
Mm.
Because I went through the same incident, but it was a hunting accident, and I accidentally took a man's life. Mm. And he was out in the woods wearing no arms, but he was walking in a thicket with me. But I took his life, and I was distressed, and because I blamed myself, the guilt. And they relieved her of her pain, basically, because the family, his brother and his two nieces, and his sister come visit me on a Sunday before I decided to go to church. And they forgave me. Did not blame me for what happened. They knew it was an accident. But it cleared their heart. But I still had trouble forgiving myself. And then, you know, I was in church before all of it happened. But I try to share my story. I gave a testimony in our church about what happened and how God led me to where I am today. I'm helped facilitating a grief share that people have trouble with loss with loved ones and in trouble with stuff like that. And I just recommend that and condemn that the lady that I don't, you know, I'm not pretty sure it was an accident, but it just touched my heart when I was listening to this story, how that family forgave her and trying to lead her to Jesus Christ as her Savior.
Amen. Yeah. Danny, that's an incredible testimony. And thank God for the family that has forgiven you. You know, our Bible tells us that we confess our sin, our wrongs. God is faithful and just to forgive us for what we do. And we are all sinners. You know, the problem, too, with bitterness, when you don't forgive, there's an old saying that bitterness is an acid that eats a container. And that's you. And forgiveness, it doesn't mean people not to be held accountable, but it does mean that you can move on and forgive. Amen. Great lessons today. We thank you for tuning in. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. It's been great to be with you. That's a great story out of Dallas, as I say. Is that video on the site? It is. Amen. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith. Family.